For 1 year, and I feel like this is my place now. I'm learning my way around. And my sister was staying the other week, and she was really impressed with my knowledge of back streets as I drove from A to B, which actually was Manurewa to Manukau. And she said, "Wow, you're really a local now, you know the back roads." But as you all know, it takes way more than knowing back roads to be local. But hey, I'll take what I can get. Lyndon asked me to speak last year. He has been very patient, and I did not volunteer. But today I'm here. I'm here because just as I was falling asleep a couple of weeks ago, he asked me if I would preach. And I was no longer nearly falling asleep. My mind started its somersaults, as it does when something is requested of it. It requires time, thought, preparation, and communion with Jesus to stand up here and bring a message, one that is God-inspired. It is good, it is very good to stop and examine the Word of God and seek the Lord while preparing a message, even though it is challenging. So with the Lord's help and guidance, I bring you a message today from the book of Matthew. I pray that God speaks to you through it, that you are encouraged, inspired, and challenged in your journey with him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege of being able to read it, to listen to it, and thank you for being with us as we seek to live our lives by it. There are many of us here today from all different life situations. Lord, would you bless each person today? Would they know more of you? May they hear what you have this morning for them. Not what I have, but what you have. I commit this time of listening and speaking to you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So since the beginning of the year, we as a church have been looking at the words of Christ in the book of Matthew, which we are calling the Red Letter Series. That's why we have the red letters up there. And now I'm going to start my thing. Here we go. Lois has previously preached on the part of the chapter that I'm looking at today, and she did a fantastic job. There is so much to be drawn from the teachings of Jesus. And today I am focusing on some different threads from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. There will be some crossover with what Lois spoke on, but we shall see how well you listen to her and you can figure out what the crossover bits are. There's going to be lots of scripture this morning. To me, scripture is empowering. It's a gift. I've asked Zoe to read our main passage this morning. So, Zoe, would you come? And I don't have a microphone for you.
Is it working?
Okay. Yeah, you're good.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm reading from Matthew 6, and it starts at 25. It's called Do Not Worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks. Okay, thank you, Zoe. Do not worry. Yes, I picked a goodie. Please don't sit there and worry about how this message will play out. I'm going to focus on what is worry and what does it look like, why we shouldn't worry, and finally what the Bible directs us to do in dealing with worry. So, first things first, what does worry really mean and what does it look like? I always think it's a good idea to find out the definition of something that I'm going to explore or study. And in my little trusty Collins dictionary, it says that worry means to be anxious or uneasy. Anxiousness or anxiety is linked to fear. And as I read that definition initially, I remembered that in the Bible, Jesus tells us not to fear. Personally, I have worried. And I still do. There are lots of things that battle for the worry part of my mind. Money, health, relationships, natural disasters, potential man-made disasters, my children, my parents, and yes, I even worry about my husband. Those are the big things that worry me. And then there are the little things like food, clothes, getting a parking space, the rain, the washing on the line, and how will I get some me time? You know what? I have battled worry this week. I prepared this sermon not realizing that Lois had preached on this very passage about 6 weeks ago. I felt so silly. My pride. Oh yes, I have lots of pride that has to be dealt with on a very regular basis. My pride was so wounded. Why didn't I listen to her sermon that I missed? This was going to be so awkward. What if Lois won't think well of me? Heaven forbid. So yes, I battle with this worry thing. To be really honest, what other people think about me worries me. That's why when Dave preached the other week and he got us to play that game, Would You Rather, where you get to choose, would you rather be like a certain person or another kind of person? I chose to be the one who didn't know what people were thinking. And I can't remember that person, who they were, but anyway. I wonder what you worry about or are tempted to worry about. Or maybe it's just me. Worry has a stigma attached to it. People who worry aloud, if they're worried aloud, if they are worrying aloud, we label them a worry wart. Ouch, no one likes warts. So, how about worrying privately? Can we do that? Jesus clearly says, therefore, do not worry about your life. John Stott, in his commentary on Matthew, says, worry is not a little weakness we will all give way to from time to time. It is a sin that is strictly forbidden. What? Really? Worry is a sin? Worry is basically failure to trust God. Seriously, that is the bottom line. We can disguise worry by calling it some other name, like a concern, a burden, a cross to bear, but it is still essentially worry. I have to keep confessing to God that I haven't trusted him. He is incredibly gracious and he keeps giving me another chance. I'm sure if it was anyone else, it would be over and my chances would be gone, but it is not so with God. Jesus goes on to say, do not worry about what you will eat and drink or about your body and what you will wear. He talks about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and how they don't worry, and yet God takes care of them, providing their needs. He goes on to say how we are so much more valuable than they are, meaning the sparrows and the flowers. And this has really stood out to me as I've read these verses over and over. Are you not much more valuable than they? Psalm 139 talks about how we are created, lovingly formed. Verses 13 to 16 says, for you created my innermost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a plan for each of us. He created us. He has given us the amazing opportunity to be in relationship with him, to be called his sons and daughters, to be called his friends. We are precious and valuable in his sight. Verse 31 says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Many of you know that Lyndon and I with the kids did a big sailing trip several years ago, and as we prepared and planned for this trip, I got to the point where I got quite scared and overwhelmed with thinking about aspects of the journey. One of my huge concerns was food. How was I going to provision the boat adequately, and what would I cook? How would I feed my family? Now, if you talk to my immediate family and my wider family, they would all tell you stories of various cooking disasters and epic fails I have had in the kitchen over the years. I spend way too much time worrying about how and what to cook. That's not my forte. And at sea, it would have to be done every day. So maybe we could fast or starve. The family wouldn't be happy for too long like that, not to mention extra crew. There could be a mutiny on board. So food, preparing and cooking, it was the only way forward. So anyway, I was sitting at a cafe in Hamilton with Lyndon, quietly and privately, really stressing over the whole issue of There you go, I can stop now.
Don't worry, Kate.
Oh dear. Are we here? Yes, we are. So anyway, I'm sitting in a cafe like you do, and stressing, worrying. And as I sat there, I saw a sparrow, and the sparrow landed beside me and ate the crumbs on the ground. And the verses I've just read to you flashed into my head. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" I was reminded right then to trust God with these thoughts that were racing round in my head. And after that, I actually had this amazing peace about the food situation, that it would work out.
Don't worry. I said you got cuties.
Yeah, you already said that. So the boat journey wasn't always easy, and neither was the provisioning. Yep, I got tangled in worry a few times. Once underway, there were times that I wished for restaurants, fast food, and easy access to supermarkets. But we were fed, and we ate fine, and God provided our every need. And that photo is from the internet. That is not my cooking. I committed my anxious thoughts to God, and I got on with doing what I could, and he did the rest. I forgot to say that a little while after we had that that time in the cafe, I was with Lyndon in a chandlery, and I spied a discounted book about provisioning a boat for a long passage and meals to prepare. And the book was helpful, and although I didn't use it like a Bible, it was a guide and a reference for stocking and provisioning the boat. And I saw that as a blessing from God, his assurance that he was looking out for me and my family, and that he was involved.
And I think that's what happens. You know, you commit things to God and then he pops up and you realise that he's involved and he cares so much. I'm really thankful for the way God does provide. It doesn't happen how I would always like, but he provides my every need. This leads me to the next part, why we shouldn't worry. Worry is very real for many people. In fact, I might be right in saying that everyone has worried about something at some point in their lives. This guy who wrote a book called Warren Wisby says that worry pulls us apart, and instead of helping us to live longer, anxiety only makes our life shorter. Man is pulled apart because he tries to live his own life by depending on material wealth. The world around us offers all sorts of help to deal with worry. There are a variety of vices one can turn to so that worry is numbed. All of this is temporary and ultimately leads us further away from our Creator. Worry is when our thoughts are consumed by something that is causing anxiety and fear. Being consumed by something reveals itself in our speech, in our actions, and our lifestyle. Worry can affect our decision-making and our thought processes. And I say these things both from personal experience and observing those around me. We shouldn't worry because, as verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? God wants the best for us. He wants the best for our thought life too. His word is a constant reminder of this. So how can we deal with the temptation to worry? What does the Bible say? God has the best plan for our lives, and I mentioned that previously. And worry is not part of that plan. God doesn't want us to worry and fear. He desires us to live and live abundantly. And that's not just physically, but that's mentally as well. God knows our thoughts. He knows what is going on in our minds, and he knows it's what shapes our actions and words. And this brings me to the final part of Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus gives us a key right here to open the door that takes us away from worry and directs us to life. Let me read that again. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I know Lois highlighted this verse a while back, bringing it to our attention. It is good to remind ourselves of good things, to remind ourselves of awesome verses from the Bible, and this is one of them. Sometimes I like being told what to do. Lyndon probably disagrees. I like to know that there's a way out, and Jesus gives us the way out. We can be free from worry when we put his kingdom purposes first in our lives and focus on living an upright and godly moral life. I want to draw your attention to the verses that came before our text today, Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24. They implore us to not store up for ourselves treasure on earth where moths and rust destroy them. They remind us that where our treasure is, there our heart and our thoughts will be also. Our heart, our thoughts, and our treasure. When we choose to lift our heart eyes to Jesus, I know that sounds weird, but I want to give you an image to help you, so I say heart eyes. Anyway, focus our heart eyes on Jesus. The things of this world, the cares, the worries, they diminish, they fade. It's like an eraser erasing the anxious thoughts into nothing. I love this verse from Romans. Romans 12 verses 2 and 4 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." We are so privileged to have Scripture right in front of us. This is a wonderful piece of wisdom and instruction. The world around us worries all the time, and it seems we are always confronted with something to worry about. World War III, maybe. Climate change, national elections, rising dairy prices, congestion on the roads, etc., etc. And it's okay to talk about these things, to think about them, and to process, but it's not okay to be consumed by them and let them dictate our thoughts and our actions. Jesus has a much better way. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Worrying and anxious thoughts will come our way. Jesus didn't say they wouldn't. But when they do, he has given us amazing tools to deal with them. We are to rejoice. He is near. We are not alone in life. We are to be thankful. We're to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness in our daily lives. There is so much to be thankful for. First and foremost, that our God is alive and that he loves us so much. It doesn't stop there. We don't have to shoulder our anxious thoughts. We can pray with thanksgiving and present our requests to him. And the Bible tells us that God's peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This is our thought life, our attitudes. They will be guarded by Christ Jesus when we turn to him and present him with thanksgiving, prayer, and petition. This is different to what the world tells us to do. The world tells us that we need to buy this and that, drink this, drink that, eat this and eat that, and we shall feel better. I'm generalizing, but you get the idea. Jesus invites us to come and talk with him, to pass our burdens over and to get on with seeking his kingdom first. I see it like this. Worry comes and it hits us like a wave. What do? Do we get churned up in the wave and eat the gritty sand of worry? Or do we take courage and express thankfulness and joy and submit our worries to God and swim right through the big wave, delighting in the fact that we can actually do this and have this option? I know that this image is a little bit out there, doesn't quite link really to the rest of the sermon, but as I prepared this message, this wave picture came to mind. And then Lyndon reminded me that it's very interesting because my whole life I've had reoccurring dreams about tidal waves swamping me. So if anyone out there interprets dreams. So to have this picture come in my mind when I'm preparing something about worry is really meaningful to be able to get through that wave. And yes, I spent a year on a boat and God works in mysterious ways. Going back to Romans 12, allowing our minds to be transformed, Jesus offers us a different perspective on life, one that does not follow the patterns of this world. Lyndon spoke last week on going and going with God, living a life focused on God, not the things of this world. You know, as I have committed my way to the Lord time and time again, he has erased my worries. Things have not always turned out how I expected or previously wanted. My heart has beaten hard with fear, and I've spent nights trying to forget my cares and fall asleep. But when I remember, and honestly, I believe Jesus reminds me to remember because he cares so much. When I remember to turn my heart eyes to Jesus, to worship him, to pray, and give him my concerns, he blesses me with the peace that is talked about in Philippians 4. I want to share with you a story as I bring this message to a close. It is from John Stott's commentary on Matthew 6. There was a man, his name was Taller, and Taller went for a walk one day and he met a beggar. And he said, "God give you a good day, my friend. And the beggar answered, "I thank God that I am never unhappy." Taller was amazed and he asked, "What do you mean?" "Well," said the beggar, "when it is fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. And since God's will is my will, and whatever pleases him pleases me, why should I say I am unhappy when I'm not?" Taller looked at the man in astonishment. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am a king," said the beggar. "Where is your kingdom?" Taller asked. And the beggar quietly replied, "In my heart." And when I read this, I cried because it is beautiful and it's simple. The beggar knew who he was in God. He had every reason to worry, but he didn't because his thoughts were centered on kingdom purposes. Our chapter today finishes with, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus knows our human heart so well. He tells us not to worry about today and not to worry about tomorrow, the future. That song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow," comes to mind as I read this last verse. It's so true, because Jesus lives, we can all face tomorrow. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust, it counteracts worry. Our own understanding of life is not always God's understanding or God's ways. When we commit and trust our ways to Him, He makes our paths straight. When we planned our boat trip that I mentioned earlier, we prayed and we really sought the Lord, should we do this? He totally guided and led us on that journey. Committing our way to the Lord. Committing our way to the Lord and trusting Him is so important in dealing with the worries that come our way. Finally, before I finish, I want to encourage you to not bottle worry up. Find a trusted friend, someone you can talk with and share your concerns with. Ask them to pray with you as you navigate the worrying thoughts that will come. Jesus is always there, ready to listen and take our burdens, but He has also given us the church. His people can pray and encourage you and remind you of God's blessings and deep love. Remember, you are so valuable in His sight, and He knows all your needs. Commit your way to Him with thankfulness and joy, and the Bible says He will guard your heart and make your way straight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, that You'll help us to remember Your word. God, when worries come our way, may we be quick to involve You, to give those worries to You, and to concentrate on Your kingdom purposes. Thank You, Jesus, for who You are and for Your words. You are truth and life, and we praise You and bless You. Amen. If anyone would like prayer this morning about anything, please find a friend here to pray with you, or please come up to the front. I'd be happy to pray with you, or Linda. If you've not encountered Jesus before and you've got questions about being in a relationship with Him, please come and talk to myself or Linda. We'd love to share more about Him with you. We're going to finish with a song that I feel really sums up this message, and that is, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow."